Many of these psalms, at least in the first part here of the book of Psalms, are short, and we're able to read all the verses for our scripture reading, and that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're at Psalms 46, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. We read these verses responsibly. I'll read the first verse, ask you to join me in every other verse, and we'll read the last verse together as well. Psalms 46, I'll begin in verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Together in verse 11. Ready? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. And let's pray. Father, I too pray, as Brother Littner prayed, Lord, that you would speak to us, that, Lord, you would empower us. Father, I'm very much aware that if all that we do, Lord, is I just read some things I wrote down and look at some verses and try to make some thoughts and conclusions, if that's all that happens, Lord, we'll leave here unfulfilled. We'll leave here hungry. We'll leave here having nothing really spiritually accomplished. Father, we would ask that you would fill, I'd ask you to fill me, I ask you to fill these folks. And that the Holy Spirit, the author of this word, the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, would show us, Lord, what we need. Help us in these things, Lord. You, by faith, Lord, we believe that this is your word. You wrote it. You gave it to us. And that it is profitable. And it's necessary. And so, Lord, we look at it tonight, trusting that you'll use it in our lives. Help us in these things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Each of us, sometime or another, suffer from some level of anxiety at different times. Different times, different levels of anxiety. Sometimes it's way up there, and sometimes it may not be. But we all go through certain times of anxiety. Probably most of the time, we handle it pretty well. No one knows. You're just dealing with it. You're maybe real nervous about something or anxious about something, bothered about something. But you can kind of handle it. You kind of coast through it, and most people don't know. Other times in your life, it can be kind of overwhelming, where, I mean, you're beside yourself. Now, that's the reality of the life we live. Sometimes events cause us to be anxious, and sometimes more anxious than we seem to be able to handle. Now, I want you to notice this next statement. Every day holds the potential of turning our life upside down. I'm not trying to make you nervous or scared, but when you wake up in the morning, you have no idea how that day could just take your whole life and turn it upside down. I thought about that this morning. I was talking to Brother Myers. They're not here tonight. They're back at the hospital with Brother Connors. Some of you know this. I think we talked about it on Wednesday night, so most of you, if not all of you, know it. Brother Connors, they were having their camp meeting. We're getting ready to have their camp meeting. I guess it'd be this past Monday. I think that's when it was. Maybe a week before that, somewhere in the last couple of weeks. And so they're getting ready, and he was coming down the highway, heading to the church to unlock it, get things, just like I would be doing. Get there early, get everything unlocked, get all the lights on, make sure the air conditioning is working. You just get there early, make sure things look decent. And that's what he was planning on doing. No one really knows exactly why, but he got kind of into an accident, seemed to clip a truck, flipped his truck, got thrown out of the truck. And now for the last week and so, he's been laying in a hospital bed, and they really don't know what's going to happen. He's not responsive as they would want him to be. His back's broken in a couple of places. His neck may not be broken. He's got swelling around the brain. And no matter really how he recovers, they feel like, you know, because of his age, because of the seriousness, that he will never be completely probably back to normal. I mean, God can do anything, but medically speaking. Now think about that. He woke up like we woke up. He got in his car like we get in our car. And he said, okay, I'm going to the church. Before he got to the church, his life, his wife's life, his children's life, and the church's life got totally turned upside down. That's just the reality of life. One phone call, one knock at the door, and everything changes. You're sitting there, you might be having the greatest day, you're thinking, man, this is great weather, everything's fine, my bills are paid, and then the phone rings, and everything changes. I'm not trying to discourage you, but that's the reality we live in. Now, I thank God for the promise of heaven. John 14 says this. This is what the Lord said. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. And where I am, heaven, there ye may be also. And the older we get, the sweeter heaven becomes, does it not? I mean, when you're first saved, you're excited about heaven. But you're primarily excited about heaven because that's where you're going. But the longer you're saved and the older you get, and you start knowing people who passed away, fellow Christians, who've gone on to heaven, heaven becomes a sweeter place. It becomes a place of reunion. And almost a place to look forward to, not just because it's heaven, not just because you're going there, not just because streets of gold and gates of pearl and Jesus is there and all that is obviously wonderful and great. But you look forward to heaven because maybe you have relatives there or friends there or Christian brethren there. And you start looking forward to it. And so heaven is a sweet place. Let me say this. Sometimes we need the Lord here and now. Thank God for heaven, but I'm not in heaven yet. I need God now. I need Him today. And I'm saying, thank God that when everything's said and done and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And when the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. And all that is great. But Lord, the battle is right now. And right now I need You to show up. And right now I need You. That kind of brings us back to Psalms 46. Psalms 46 is called the Song of Holy Confidence. And it really begins in verse 1, and that really gets our understanding of what this psalm's about. Psalms 46, verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength. And notice what it says, the second half of that verse. A very, what's the next two words? Present help in trouble. Not just a future help. Not just a past help, but a present help. Here and now. And that's the idea that I need Him here and now, and He promises to meet with us here and now. Now let me just stop for a moment, because I try to give you a little bit of understanding of each of these psalms. Historically, now we're not really sure the biblical, as far as who wrote it and what the occasion was, but I'll give you something historical about it that's kind of interesting. Psalms 46 is called Luther's psalm, as in Martin Luther. It's called Luther's psalm. It is said that during the darkest days of the Reformation, when it looked like the Catholics were going to wipe out all the reformists, when the battle was at its worst, when the day was the darkest, that Luther would get his colleagues and he'd say, "Come, let us sing the 46th Psalm." All to say that Psalms 46 has been a source of encouragement in some of the darkest times of Christians' history. Now, when you come back to Psalms 46, let's talk just for a moment more about it, and then we'll get into some application. Psalms 46 is kind of easy to preach from because it's naturally divided. There's the word Selah divides up into three sections. Look at verse 3, if you will. It ends with Selah. So we have verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. That's the first section. And then you look in verse number 7, you see Selah again, and then you see the second section, 4, 5, 6, 7. And then obviously the third section is from 8 down to 11, and at the end of 11 you see Selah once again. So you have Psalms 46, the Song of Holy Confidence, three things taught, and the three things I want to focus on tonight. First thing I want you to notice, go back with me to Psalms 46, you will, is this. In verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3, Notice what he says here again. He says a very present help in trouble. Then look at verse 2. Therefore will not we fear. Now notice what he says. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Let me ask you this. If the earth is removed, if big chunks of the land, because of earthquake or whatever, is let's say there's an earthquake and Cleveland falls into Lake Erie. Can you do anything to stop it? Not a thing. Or if a mountain, because of an earthquake or volcano, a mountain just crumbles and falls and wipes out and just dissolves and it's no longer there. Can you change that? And that's got an idea of what he's talking about. This is what the psalmist is mentioning. This idea of holy confidence. Number one, he wants us to understand this, is God is our help. Now, I've been kind of wordy, so I want you to listen carefully. God is our help in uncontrollable events. If the earth is removed or the mountains are carried in the sea, there's nothing we can do. We can't control that. We can't change that. And in those types of situations where the events are beyond our control or beyond what we can do, what he's saying is that's when you look to the Lord. He's our help in those times. You think about what a waste and how great a waste of time and energy there is in worrying. When things happen and we worry and we fret and we're all nervous and we're all upset and we're stressed out, what a waste of time there is to worry. If you can do something about the situation, then why are you worrying about it? If you can do something, if you say, here's a problem in my life, here's a situation, well, what can you do? Well, I can do this. Well, then do it. Don't worry, do it. You say, well, preacher, here's a situation and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't change it. I can't make it better. It is beyond me and I'm just worried about it. Can I ask you this? What good is your worrying doing? Your worrying is not changing anything. All you can do is take it and put it in the Lord's hand and say, Lord, I can't. There's nothing I can do. And I don't know if you're going to do anything, but why worry? Because there's nothing I can do. And worrying is not going to change anything. Now, if our security, now listen to this statement. If our security is found in being able to control our life, let me back up and say, for many people, that's the case. You're secure because you can control what's happening. And when you no longer can control it, insecurity takes over. You all of a sudden you're at wit's end. You say, well, preacher, I can't do anything about this, and I can't make this work, and I can't control this situation. And you're going to find events like that. Uncontrollable events come into your life. If your security is found in being able to control your life, what are you going to do when all of a sudden everything is out of control? All of a sudden the policeman knocks at your door. Let me tell you, there's probably, I don't know if anything that just paralyzes you in fear is when there's a knock at the door early morning or late at night and it's the police. Because you know they're only there usually for one reason. Never a good reason. Something bad has happened to someone. Now, this is not a serious thing, but it was kind of a scary thing. Years ago when we were back at college, early Saturday morning, it was like probably 7 o'clock Saturday morning. Of course, you know, I'm working Friday night, probably. I'm probably not getting home till 2 in the morning. So 7 o'clock Saturday morning is very early. And so there's a knock Saturday morning. Knock with authority. So, you know, I get up, I go to the door, I look out, and it's the policeman. Open the door. Your name Dennis White? Yes, sir. Is your mom named Betty Neskin? Yes, sir. And here's what he said. Give her a phone call. She's waiting to hear from you. Turn around and walk off my porch. So I called my mom, and my mom said, I was worried. I hadn't heard from you in a couple weeks. I thought something had happened to you. I said, Mom, don't do that. You're going to give me a heart attack. What's going on? A policeman's here. He's asking my name. Now, when something like that happens, typically, unless your mom's concerned about you, typically, that's a serious thing. And there comes times in your life. Now, let me be a little more serious here. There comes times in life when you're going to face things you cannot control. I'm going to embarrass someone. I don't mean to, but I know I will. But I'm going to do it anyways. Probably, if we look in our church, one of the most healthiest people in our church, as far as exercise and taking care of themselves, is Paul Becker. Now, I personally don't think Paul Becker can beat us in foosball without Ryan's help. Ryan was the secret weapon there, and I haven't forgotten that, buddy. But anyways, Paul Becker is probably one of the he's one of the healthiest guys in our church. He's active, he runs, I don't know how many miles, and bikes, and he does all these things. he's older than me, but when my boys are a little bit younger and we'd play basketball, I mean, I would just, you know, feed the ball to Paul Becker. And he's quick. You'd think, boy, and he takes care of himself. He eats well. He's run marathons. Let me tell you this. But just how long? 2 years ago, he had to get a stent in his heart. Not because of his diet. Not because he's drinking or doing drugs. Not because he doesn't take care of himself. There's this word called genetics. His father passed away when your dad was 50? 51. Here's a guy who takes perfect, I shouldn't say perfect, but takes very good care. You know, there's some things you cannot control. And you got to decide that sometimes I got to look at my life and just turn it over to the Lord and say, Lord, I can eat right, I can exercise right, I can do everything the doctor says, and that still is no guarantee that my health is going to do right. And Lord, I got to put my life in your hands. I got to trust you in these things. And there comes a time of uncontrollable events. How are you going to deal with them? What are you going to do when things are out of your control and you cannot make it happen? You need to learn to be able to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm turning it over to you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Lord, I'm following you. I don't like this. I don't understand this, but I can't do anything about it. I'm turning it over to you. I'm trusting you in this. And so God is our help in uncontrollable events. Second thing I want you to notice, you can go back with me to Psalms 46. So the psalmist says that when the earth is removed and the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea, but God is still our present help. You can't control the situation. You can't make it turn out. But He's still our help, the one we look to, the one we trust in. And then he says this in verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy places of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. Then he says this, and this kind of helps us understand what he's saying. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. It seems that he's talking about, here is the city of Jerusalem, here is Israel, and these heathen armies, these heathen nations are coming against them. Wrongfully, they haven't done anything, but they're attacking Israel. And the idea here is, what do you do when you're being attacked? What do you do when all of these things happen? So not only is God our help in uncontrollable events, but number two is this, God is our help during unjust attacks. Those who live for Christ will be attacked simply because you live for Christ. Do you know that? There are going to be people who will be against you just because they know you're a Christian. They're going to attack you. They're going to criticize. They're going to lie about you. They're going to do all they can to hurt you. And you're like, but I haven't done anything to them. I'm nice to them. I've been generous to them. Why do they hate me? Really, it's not you they hate. It's Jesus, and you happen to be the target. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now I want you to look at another verse with me. Go with me to John 16, if you will. Hold your place in Psalms 46. And go with me to John 16. I want you to notice something the Lord tells us here. Talking about the Lord helping us here and now. The Lord to help in a present help in trouble. He's our help in uncontrollable events. He's our help during unjust attacks. Look with me at John 16, if you will. And look at verse 33. Notice what the Lord says here to His disciples. These things have... I'm at 16:33 of John. These things have I spoken to you, that in Me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, I want you to put your place there, put your finger there, John 16:33. Go back with me to Psalms 46. Look at verse 5 again. We're going to see a comparison here. Psalms 46, verse 5, the Bible says, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. But notice, God is in the midst of her. And then if you look again, look with me at John 16:33. He says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. Notice that, in the midst, in me, our peace is not that everything's turning out. Our peace is not that everything's going to work out these people understand and these people, I'll make them see the light. Here's where our peace is. My peace is that I'm in Christ. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to see if I can help you here. Now, I'm a young man, correct? Unjust attacks. God is our help in unjust attacks. But can I tell you something I've learned in these brief span of life I've had on the earth? When you're attacked, here's what you're going to do. Okay, listen to me, here's what you're going to do. You're going to try to make people understand that you're right. Especially when you're right. Maybe even more so when you're wrong. But especially when you're right. You're going to try to make people think you're right. You're going to say, but no, what they're saying is not true. And they're attacking my character, they're attacking my testimony, and I got to make sure everyone knows what the truth is. And the more you do that, the deeper the hole becomes. And it doesn't work. And you become more and more frustrated. If you're going to live for Christ for a long period of time, you have to get to a point when you... Now, there's sometimes you can maybe explain something. But there's some people, they just are going to say, they're going to lie, they're going to do all these things. And you have to stop and say, Lord, it is not me, it's not my job, it is not my responsibility to vindicate me. By the way, it isn't. That's His job. Your job is to do right. God's job is to vindicate you. In His time, in His way. May not be for a while. May not be when you want it. It may not happen the way. But you say, Lord, my life is in Your hands. Lord, that's my testimony. My testimony is about my love for You and living for You. And Lord, they're trashing it and they're lying about me. But Lord, I can't change it. I can't go and punch them in the nose. I can't go cuss them out. I can't go run them over the car. I can't do anything, Lord. It's out of my hands. It's unjust. It's not right. But Lord, I'm turning it over to You. Our job is not to vindicate. Our job is not to prove what is right. Our job is to live for Jesus and let God vindicate Himself. Let me see if I can give you an illustration. God calls Noah to build the ark. Anyone know how long he built? 120 years. 120 years they came and laughed at him. 120 years they mocked him. 120 years he did two things. Did he not? He built the ark, and what was the other thing he did? He was a preacher of righteousness. Now, for 120 years, he kept saying, it's going to rain. And they kept saying, yeah, right. How do you think they, just knowing human instinct, how do you think they treated him? Mock, laugh, crazy Noah building the boat. You know, it was not Noah's job to make it rain, was it? Noah had, okay, other than preaching, being a preacher of righteousness, his job was just to keep building the ark. In due time, in God's plan, in God's timing, the rain's going to come. It's not Noah's job to worry about the rain. It's not Noah's job to figure out when it's going to rain. It's Noah's job to build the ark. God will bring the rain according to His timetable. Same thing is true in your life. Your job is to live for the Lord. Your job is to be faithful. Your job is to serve. You have people in your family who will lie about you and mock you. You have friends. You even have, and sad to say, you even have sometimes Christians who will backstab you and say negative things and mock you. And every time you're trying to do right, they'll say, yeah, really. And they'll try to tinge all of you, all the things you're doing, trying to make it sound like it's a selfish thing or a proud thing and mock those things. Your job is not to attack back. Your job is not to fight back. Your job is to say, I'm going to build. I'm going to do right. I'm going to live for the Lord. And the Lord will vindicate me in His time. God is our help during unjust attacks. God is our help in uncontrollable events. And then He gives us the third thing here in Psalms 46. He says this, starting in verse number 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. Now, notice what he says next. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Not I may be, not I could be, but I will be. I will be. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Not only is He our help in uncontrollable events, not only is He our help during unjust attacks, but number three, notice this. God is our help in an unsure future. Sometimes we talk about this among ourselves. We try not to bring it up in church a whole lot because it gets our, I think, gets us going in the wrong direction. But as we talk among ourselves, most of us who love our nation and know our history are very concerned about the direction of our nation. Okay? Now, if you've never studied, I just watched for the second time. There's a special on John Adams. There's a book by whoever, especially one of the greatest books on John Adams ever written, and then they made it into a movie or miniseries, and they said it was supposed to be very accurate to the book. I've watched it a couple of times. What's interesting is this: John Adams, first president in the White House. No, that was Washington. No. Washington never was in the White House. They didn't have the White House built in time. So John Adams, first president in the White House. As he was leaving, he only served 4 years, one term. As he was leaving, here's what he said. And I'm watching this, and it made me, you'll know in a second what it made me do. He said, "May everyone who sits in this house," I'm at the White House, "be a man of integrity and honor." I said, boy, that prayer never got answered. Now, we look back, and here's these people. Now, I'm not saying they're all godly people and love the Lord, but they had integrity. They did what was right, and they loved our nation, and they had a desire to be what was right. And then you look at our nation, and you're like, man, what is going to happen? I mean, it's like every day you hear something else that makes you just cringe, and it bothers you. Can I tell you this? Our confidence is not in politics. And our confidence isn't in political parties. And our confidence isn't in an economic recovery. Our confidence, ready, is the return of our Savior. Amen. That's what he's talking about in this third part of Psalms. He's talking about the return of Christ. That's our confidence. Our confidence isn't that America is going to have... Now, I was thinking it would be a great thing if America had revival. But that's not my confidence. My confidence isn't that we'll have a returning back to conservative politics. That would probably help our nation, but that's not my confidence. My confidence is that the economy will pick up and we'll have 6% growth annually and jobs for everyone. That'd be great, but that's not my confidence. My confidence is this: Jesus is coming. And that's all that really matters. And until then, all you just need to do is just trust the Lord and live for Him. Let me show you a couple of things here. I want you to hold your place in Psalms 46. Go with me to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation. And we're talking about a song of holy confidence. So we have confidence in the Lord in uncontrollable events. We have this confidence in Him during unjust attacks. Now, thirdly, we have this confidence in an unsure future. Revelation 19. I'm going to read that verse again in Psalms, and then I'm going to read what it, corresponding verses in the book of Revelation. Psalms 46, verse 9. "He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire." Now, if you turn to Revelation 19, look with me at verse 11. "And I saw heaven open." Now, let me just stop. This is future as far as it hasn't happened yet. But I want you to notice what John said. John said, "I saw," past tense. As far as the Lord is concerned, all of this is already a done deal. We're waiting for it, but God already knows it's a sure thing. "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Anyone know who those people are? Those are us, aren't they? That's us. He's riding, we're riding behind him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. say, boy, that's going to be a big battle. Well, I want you to notice what happens. And out of his mouth, Jesus, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You know what that sharp sword coming out of his mouth? It's the Word of God. He speaks their destruction. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Can I remind you tonight that that is in a done, finished event? You say, well, preacher, it hasn't happened yet. It hasn't happened in your timetable. In God's, it's already happened. God is not saying, well, I'm looking ahead. God always says, no, it's already done. God calls the end from the beginning. God saw Jesus crucified before Adam and Eve ever sinned. It was already a done deal. And so God already sees Christ returning, sitting upon His throne, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's go back with me to Psalms 46 again. Let's do this one more time. Psalms 46, look with me if you will, at verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Would you say the Lord's exalted today? No, they mock Him. And the truth is, every group, they want to be sensitive. Whether you're talking about the homosexuals or some minority, racial minority, or whatever it may be, some nationality, or everything's touchy-feely. Don't use Polish jokes because you know the Polish people will be offended. You know, every group except for one group. There's one group that's open season, and that's Christians. You can laugh about them, you can mock them, you can say all kinds of mean, ugly, hateful things, and everyone laughs. No one says, "Hey, wait a minute, you shouldn't make fun of them." No, you can make fun of them all you want. Now go with me to Philippians 2. Now I'm taking a few moments. The idea is this is our confidence. This is what we're trusting in. Preacher, you think we're going to get the Senate back in 2014? I don't know. Don't really care. You know, I'll be honest, I think most of them, they have one badge. One side says R, the other side says D, and they just keep flipping it, whichever you want. Politics is not the answer for America. Jesus is the answer. If we were as excited about Jesus as we get excited about, watch this, excited about Fox News, we might do something for the Lord. Philippians 2, look with me at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. God has exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. Look at verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there will come a day when every God-hater, all of these politicians who play all their games, all of this Hollywood crowd that just mocks and ridicules the things of God, all of those in the world who just make fun of God, so there will come a day, the Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. So we're in an unsure future. Where's our confidence? That God has already seen the end. And that everything is already settled. And that I can say, I don't really know what's going to happen today. Don't know really what's going to happen tomorrow. But here's what I do know. Ready? Jesus is coming again. And that's all I need to really worry about. He is coming again. And it's a settled thing. And that's where my confidence is. That's where my help is. There's an unsure future. A lot of things up in the air. Who knows what's going to happen next? But I know Christ is coming. And I know that's all I got to focus on. That Jesus is coming. And my knee's going to bow. And I'm glad for it. My tongue's going to exclaim. And I'm glad for that. I'm going to say, yes, you are King of Kings. And yes, you are Lord of Lords. And yes, you are the Son of God. What's going to be interesting is all the others... voices in unison who'll say that. Some will say it too late. They'll die in their sin, but there'll come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I'll tell you one more thing, we'll kind of get close to the end. There's a song in our songbook. Well, there's a whole bunch of songs in our songbook. There's one in particular written by a man named W.C. Martin. thought about this song as I was writing this sermon. So it made me look at the song and then look at the fellow who wrote it. I didn't know this until I started looking at him. He's a very interesting fellow. This W.C. Martin was a Baptist pastor who died in 1914. He died at the age of 50. He's rather successful as a pastor, but died at a very young age. One of the things he did besides pastoring, he was a songwriter, and he left behind several songs. One of those goes like this. You'll recognize the song. Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. Troubles almost whelm the soul. Griefs like billows over me roll. Tempters seek to lure astray. Storms obscure the light of day. But in Christ, I can be bold. I've an anchor that shall hold. As long as my anchor holds. So why do we have a holy confidence? Because we have an unmovable anchor in Christ. Let me ask you tonight, in whom is your confidence? Is it in your job? Some of you have nice, good jobs. Thank God for them. Is that your confidence? Where's your confidence at tonight? Is it in your bank account? Maybe you got a 401k or a pension, and you got some money tucked away in there, and you say, well, okay, preacher, I'm kind of set for the future. I read stories. You've read stories, I'm sure, as well. People would believe that until they didn't have it anymore. It's all gone. What's your confidence in? Well, let me tell you my confidence. I got a strong back. I got a strong disposition. I got a strong will. But what happens when it all becomes weak? Then what's your confidence in? What's your confidence in? Friends? You say, well, preacher, I got so many friends. Good. What happens when they all desert you? Ask Job about that. Miserable comforters are you all. What's your confidence in tonight? The psalmist, I think, helps us with this. We ought to have holy confidence in God. In uncontrollable events, He's our present help. In unjust attacks, He's our present help. In unsure future, He's still our present help. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that You'd help Your people. Often, I think, Lord,